היסוד השני, אחדוסו יסעלה. והיינו, שזה שהוא אילס הכל, אחד, לא כאחד של מין, ולא כאחד של סוג, ולא כפרט האחד המורכב שמסחלק לאחדוס רבים, ולא אחד כגוף הפשוט, ואחד במינין שמקבל הפרדה וחלוקה עד אין סוף, אלא הוא יסעלה אחד באחדוס שאין כמוסו אחדוס בשום פנים. וזה היסוד השני הוא שהור עליו ואומר שמע ישראל השם אלוקינו השם אחד. So when we speak of Achdus Hashem, it means that there's only one Hashem. It also means that Hashem himself is one in the sense that there's no multiplicity or vibui in him, right? You can say that in a company, there's only one CEO. There's one CEO of the company. But that doesn't mean there's no two CEOs. But that doesn't mean that the CEO doesn't have Ramachi Vodim and Shasagidim. It doesn't mean that that there's no notion of Reboy of multiplicity within that one CEO. So when you say Hashem Echad, there's one Hashem, right? Now that's, you know, again, every moshel is not really a moshel in this context, but that's the nimshal to this one CEO. But then there's one Hashem, but Hashem is one. And in that sense, and because Hashem is one in the most absolute sense of the term, meaning sometimes we use one, but not in such an absolute sense. You know how many Yechveh's cats did you see this morning? I saw one cat. Okay, so there's one individual cat. This is one individual cat, but it's one of many. There are many of the same species, and then there are other species. It's not even the only species of cat. This is one instance of many that belong to a species, and even this species is one species of many species. So usually when we use that one, so there's one tabletop here, but this one tabletop can be subdivided. Again, conceptually, it can be subdivided infinitely. Practically, we don't have the wherewithal to do that. But conceptually, it can even be subdivided infinitely. Right? When you think mathematically, so you can still, you can always, you know, subdivide a line segment into half, into half, into half, into half. You can always represent it mathematically. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one in an incomparably, in an incomparable fashion. So Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad means not only that Hashem is one, it means Hashem is unique. Right? That's Hashem, and that's what the Rambam says. Elohu yis'ala echad ve'achdos she'en kamosa achdos b'shem ponim, that Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, to sort of express what that encapsulates is not only that there's one Hashem, and not only that the one Hashem is one, again, not only is the one CEO, but that CEO internally, intrinsically is one, but again, what all of that yields is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is absolutely unique and singular. It's something that the Rambam emphasizes a lot, that we have a tendency, we people, it's quite clear from the moment, this isn't, it's not a phenomenon that emerged just because you read the Sadoros in Hei Tov Shin Pei Dalet. We have a tendency to humanize HaKadosh Baruch Hu and basically make HaKadosh Baruch Hu into a Superman. Sort of take ourselves or our existence as the definition of existence, and then we sort of expand that to depict Hashem. So we are mortal. We live. Yimeshen Hasein Behem Shivim Shana. Vim Bigvur Hashanim Shana. HaKadosh Baruch Hu lives forever. We have a machivam sagidim, but Hashem is one. But sort of, it's one in the same category as our 248 and 365, and we know so much, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything, and the Rambam says no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is absolutely unique. It's not that there's no comparison. There's no our existence. Anything about our existence doesn't give us a frame of reference for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is totally and absolutely unique. That's why we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu through his actions. We know HaKadosh Baruch Hu through his actions. That there is no frame of reference to define him. We know him through his actions. We know him as the Borei Olam. We know him as the as Yodea Umashkiach. We know him through his actions. Hayisod HaShlishi, Shlilas HaGashmus Mimenu, to negate all physicality, all corporeality from him. V'hu Sheho Echad Hazeh, actually, maybe that's, I'm sorry, I forgot one thing in Hayisod HaSheni. In the Yisod HaRishon, so, the Rambam writes, Metzias HaBore Yishtabach, may he be praised. In the Yisod HaSheni, it's Achdusa Yisala. So the Rambam switches. Right? It's not Yishtabach, it's Yisala. Right, so if we would lower the Rambam to our level, we'd say the Rambam took out his thesaurus and said, you know, good writing, you know, you can't use the same, you can't repeat the same phrase. So, okay, so he looked up, you know, what a good... So he picked out Yishtabach, he picked out Yisalva. Yeah, and then maybe he could have done it in the reverse order, but everything is Niflam, okay. What we just said, what's the Yisod HaSheni? The Yisod HaSheni is, again, Hashem Echad means Echad Yachad HaMiyuchad, but it also means absolutely unique. Yisalva means maybe he be elevated above all human comparisons and categories that you use in other contexts. In the Yisod HaRishon, we didn't know that yet. In the Yisod HaRishon, the Rambam only taught us Metzias HaBori. At that point, all the Rambam could add to that is Yishtabach, may be praised. Once the Rambam explains to us what it means, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, now the Rambam can say, no, Yisala, may he be elevated, again, above these categories that that humanize him, that blur the uniqueness. Achduso Yisalma. Everything, every word in the Rambam is so meduyak. How is that possible for a person to be the very simple chant is like this? But let's say you have someone is blessed with a beautiful voice. So assuming that they don't have a cold or something, so whenever that person talks, whenever that person sings, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be beautiful. Because given who that person is, so that person's, our extraordinary is that person's ordinary. So the person who's blessed with the beautiful voice is, you're always going to hear that you're always going to hear it. So our extraordinary was the Rambam's ordinary. Who the Rambam was. So every word is so deep and so profound, because that was the level in which the Rambam thought, in which the Rambam wrote, in which the Rambam lived. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is incorporeal. He's not physical. And since he's not physical, so everything which is a function of physicality doesn't apply to him either. Motion, being in motion or at rest, so that's true of a physical body. Something which is physical, it can be in motion, it can be at rest. Something which is physical, it can be mitzad ha'etzem, that it shifts between these two states. Let's say a person can move or be at rest. It doesn't have to be that someone's carrying him or someone's propelling him, right? The person meets up, the person is mobile. If you have something which is inanimate, you have a stone. So a stone is going to be mitzad hamikra, that it's either in motion. Someone throws the stone, so the stone is in motion, and no one throws the stone, it's at rest. But either way, something which is physical, again, either in a self-propelling way or being propelled by something else. But anything which is physical, anything which is a function of physicality, doesn't apply to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he's not physical. Lachain shalu mimenu aleim ha-shalom. That's why Chazal say that you can't speak by HaKadosh Baruch Hu of chibur and pirud. You can't speak of being connected or set apart. Because again, that's true of something physical. So two things which are physical, they can be connected, or they can be disconnected. But it's not true of something which isn't physical. Again, to be sitting or standing is physical, is a posture which is again a function of physicality. So what does it mean, lo oref lo ipoy? The Rambam says it means lo pirud v'lo chibur. V'omer anovi, ve'al mi sedam yun kel. And the Rasa says, the first time it's not speaking in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's voice, the second time it's speaking in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's voice, right? To whom can you compare HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or speaking in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's voice, to whom can you compare me, and there will be some resemblance. Ram says, even if you would say he's physical, but it's a different type of physicality, there would be some point of resemblance. There would be some basis for Hashvah. So it's quite clear that what these psukim are saying is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is absolutely, entirely incorporeal. V'ilu ha-yaduf ha-yadom el-gufim. V'chom ha-shebah. I think that the Rambam in the Yad also quotes the pasuk that we quote in Aleinu every day. V'yadata yom ha-shevosa al-vavecha ki Hashem elukim b'shamayim yima v'la eretz mitochas. So something physical can't be in two places at the same time. Can't be in two places at the same time. So how is HaKadosh Baruch Hu equally b'shamayim yima v'la eretz mitochas? Because he's not physical. Location is also a function of physicality. Something which is is physical, it has coordinates. Now, v'chol ma'aseh bo, what do you do with all the psukim which describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu in these terms? V'chol ma'aseh bo b'ksuvim b'torah av mitorei ha'gufim, kegon ha'halicha mimokom la'mokom, V'al yelech Hashem kasher, how does the pasuk go? When he finished talking to Avraham Avinu. Kegon ha-halicha mimokom lemokom, v'ha-amida, v'ha-yeshiva, v'ha-dibur, v'ha-yotzei bohem. Again, to speak, so it means you have vocal cords that are vibrating and producing sound waves. So what does all this mean? Kulam hem derech ha-shalom. It's all speaking in anthropomorphic terms. Kamo she'amru divrei Torah kol sham b'nei adam. See here, this is something you find in many, many of the Rishonim. You find it in the Chavos HaLevavos, you find it in Ibn Ezra, you find it in the Radak. Again, that's already after the Rambam. The Rambam, I think Rav Yehuda Halevi has in the Kuzari, everyone uses this phrase of Divrei Torah kol sham b'nei adam in speaking of the anthropomorphisms in Tanakh. If you look up the phrase that, again, the phrase is from Chazal, but Chazal use it to explain double lashonos. Chazal don't use it in this context. Chazal use it in a very different context. Let's say whenever you have double lashonos, chveis hoshev teshivim, those kinds of double lashonos, so you have, sometimes you have machlokes with Rishon Rabbi Akiva, whether you have to darshan something from the double lashon, or whether it's divrei Torah kol sham b'nei adam. Chazal are not using this expression in the context that all the Rishonim are sort of borrowing it for. So why do they, I mean, given that that's not the context of Chazal, so why? But again, you know, it's Mduik and the Rambam, it's not Stam, well, you know, it's a beautiful phrase, so we'll borrow the phrase, albeit in a different context. No, but the Rambam says, Kamosha Ombil. Right? The Rambam is quoting the phrase. He's not sort of borrowing the phrase and using it in the, and again, it's not only the Rambam, everyone does it. So the pshat is that even though, again, Chazal never used it in this context, but there is a yesod in Divrei Torah kol sham b'nei adam, which is that you find places, even in Chumash, where, let's say, imagine someone's giving a drasha. So if he's going to be a good darshan, an effective darshan, so the way he'll express his ideas will partially reflect who his audience is. And if he wants to convey, if he wants to communicate the same content, but on two different occasions, but he has two different audiences, so he's going to say it differently. He's going to say it differently. Maybe he'll give a different moshel, or maybe he'll even have to use different vocabulary. It should, to be an effective darshan, so it needs to be tailored to the specific audience. And again, anyone who communicates effectively does that. But people don't realize that, and sometimes they then take, let's say, what an Odom Godel said to in a particular context to a particular audience, and then they sort of play it in their minds to a different audience with all kinds of diukim. And the whole thing is just a misguided analysis, because effective communication means that you're talking to the to your live audience. So Dibur Torah Kelashon B'nei Adam means that the Torah Kedosha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does that in the Torah Kedosha, and the Torah reflects, again, even though Chazal said it in a dramatically different context, but there's a yesod here, and the yesod is that the Torah does that as well. The Torah also, it's me'esa gvura. Every word, every letter is me'esa gvura, but it's me'esa gvura intended for Bnei Adam, and that's reflected in how the Torah speaks. Okay, now again, Chazal made that point in a vastly different context, the Hainu, idiomatically, how the Torah speaks. And the Rishonim say, but the same Yesod is true in terms of philosophically how you speak. That the on the one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very real, the ultimate reality, the only reality. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very real. On the other hand, because we are so megushimdik, that there is a danger, because he's not physical, he's not tangible, there's nothing tangible, you can't shake hands, he's not visible. So there's a danger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's the reality, of becoming some kind of abstraction. So how do you sort of, what's the cause of Ashlishi for most of us between those two? So the cause of Ashlishi is Dibur Torah Kelashon B'nei Adam. The cause of Ashlishi is, on the one hand, that we speak of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in human terms, anthropomorphisms, but with the awareness that it's an anthropomorphism. And that's a way of making it real in terms that are easy for us to relate to. But we need to recognize that that's what's happening when the Torah expresses itself that way. So the Torah could say, you know, in very, what for us would be very clinical terms, the Torah could say, Avodah Zarah is very, very bad. Okay. Or the Torah could say, V'chara af Hashem bochem. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be filled with wrath. So people being who we are, what we are, the latter formulation is much more real to us and makes much more of an impression upon us than sort of the clinical description that it's Minho Averus HaChamurus. But if it's depicted as Kikelkana Hashem, no, Hashem is going to avenge this. And it's depicted as Bachar Af Hashem Bachem. Hashem is not getting angry. He's not losing his cool. Hashem is not getting angry. But that, it speaks to us in a way that sort of the clinically precise formulation doesn't. So on the one hand, the Torah speaks that way. Again, with our, assuming our knowledge that it's speaking as a moshel, as a, and that's what it means in this context, the divrei Torah kelashon b'nei adam. So to say that when your guest leaves, okay, so we know what that means. So that's very meaningful to us. So to say that a nevuah ended, so we describe that Hashem left. Again, Hashem's not going anywhere. He doesn't come, he doesn't go. A nevuah began for the Navi, and a nevuah ended, so that's very abstract. But if you express it in concrete terms, but recognizing that that's a moshel, so it becomes easier for us to grasp, easier for us to understand. But we have to recognize that it's being expressed, again, in that moshel to make it easier for us to hold on to the abstraction. Again, that's what the Rishonim are explaining. And the reason they not only are using the phrase from Chazal, but they're quoting, right? The Rambam says, K'mo she'amru. He's quoting Chazal, even though Chazal is not at all in this context, is because the yesod that the Torah reflects not... The Torah could be written in a way that reflects Hashem's... It could have the perfect precision that Hashem is capable of, and it wouldn't employ divrei Torah kelashon b'nei adam. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, he's an effective darshan, l'havdil, right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is tailoring it to his audience. The audience is people. So therefore, divrei Torah kelashon b'nei adam. The audience is people, and therefore divrei Torah kelashon b'nei adam. So it's not only true in idiom, but it's even true in terms of employing anthropomorphisms. That's what the Rishonim mean. I'm not sure what that line means. Maybe it means that what we were talking about, that, you know, that the Rambam says, you know, I'm not the first one to be even using Dibra Torah Kelashon B'nei Adam in this context. Because, again, you have it before the Rambam, you have it in Mechavos Avavos, you have it in Ibn Ezra. I'm not sure what this line means. So when the Torah wants to talk about Hashkocha, so the Torah talks about Einei Hashem Elokecha Bo. Torah talks about Eretz Yisrael and Parshas Ekev. Torah says that, again, literally translated, that Hashem's eyes are always, his gaze is always focused on Eretz Yisrael. That's Dibur Torah Kelashon B'nei Adam. Again, to say that, you know, if you say that a person is... You'll say that a person would be watching carefully. That's the way a person would exercise, you know, hashgacha on a human level. So that's the way the Torah impresses it upon us. But all the divrei Torah kelashon b'nei adam are again sort of when we want to describe a nevuah ends. We want to describe hashgacha. But when we're thinking about Hashem himself, so then we don't even use this Divrei Torah Kelshon B'nei Adam as a bridge. When a person is davening Shemon Esrei, a person is not supposed to have any kind of physical image in mind. A person is not supposed to, if a person is looking to focus on something, so it says in Sfarim, he can see the letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei in front of his mind's eye, but he's not supposed to have any physical image in mind, because again, then we're not trying to describe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that Moshe Rabbeinu is receiving a communication with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, then you can say Vayedav Hashem Moshe Leimo. We're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, so then we don't even use this heter, as it were, to use Divrei Torah Kelshon B'nei Adam to help us, to help bridge things for us. We don't use. What does a person focus on? He can focus on either or both, either the osios of Yud Kei Vav Kei, or I think the Nefesh HaChaim says that when a person davens, let's say if a person is davening by heart, so he says it's a school of a kavana to see the words, right? So when a person is davening atoch and elamdas, he should see the aleph tof hey, and he should see the ches vav nun sofes, and again in his mind's eye. So that's sort of what the anchor is for us in terms of a focus, but not chas v'shalom any physical imagery. Okay, this is a very big topic, too big to begin now, but maybe just to introduce it, you can take a look, and then the next week we'll talk about it. This is the place to talk about what happens if a person makes a mistake in the Yud Gimel Yikar. So, because this is where you have the famous Hasagas Arayv in Hilchos Tshuva, when the Rambam says that if a person, Chamisha Hem HaNikra Minim, And one of the five who is Nikra Min is who thinks that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is physical, and the Ravid says, Lama Koral Zem Min. So in terms of just what the Ravid's attitude towards mistakes needs to be correctly understood, and that's not always the case. What the Rambam's attitude is, and maybe Bli Nedim Hashem, we'll begin with that next week.